deplorable, racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And name it she did. The words of former Democratic nominee for President Hillary Rodham Clinton. Let me read them again. Deplorable, racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And boy, did she ever. Hillary Clinton was referring to those who were stupid enough, her words again, to vote for Donald John Trump for President of the United States. If you did vote for Trump, you were deplorable. If you voted for Trump, said Clinton, you were racist. And you were sexist. And you were homophobic, you bad boys and girls. And finally, you were xenophobic and Islamophobic. And really, you were much more, said the learned Mrs. Clinton. She was, as one commentator so aptly stated, simply following identity politics to its logical conclusion. And yet another commentator stated, no wonder she lost. No wonder she lost. Reminds me of the words of Hillary Rodham Clinton's predecessor, Barack Hussein Obama. Then candidate for President Obama accused middle America, so-called small towners, average Americans, of clinging to their guns and Bibles, guns and religion. In short, Obama then in 2008 and Clinton in 2016 had nothing but disdain for ordinary Americans. You know, we the deplorables, or yet another Clinton phrase for us, we the irredeemables. My soul. Nice lady. Nice terms. And that, my fellow Americans, is what elitism is, what elites are. They're better than us. Simply better than us, these elites are. They're smarter than us. They're above us. They are the only ones capable of ruling us and telling us how to live our lives. In this case, a political class born to govern, determined to control our country and us with it, these elites are. And back to former President Barack Hussein Obama. One of Obama's crafters of the disastrous Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber, do you remember that name? Gruber? Told all of America that the passage of Obamacare was easy to accomplish because of the stupidity of the American voter. Remember that one? You're stupid, American voter. You just simply don't know, and you just simply don't care. Do you? Boy, I sure do. The disrespect for the American voter, for the average American, for you and me, was rampant top to bottom in the Obama administration, and of course in that man himself. And the disease of disrespect and disdain was just as infectious in Hillary Rodham Clinton. We are, in the minds of these elites, we ordinary Americans, these who are better than us, we are irredeemable, contemptible, end of the matter, nothing to discuss. Small wonder that the Democrats and the Democratic Party has changed so radically, so progressively, that it is no longer relevant in so much of America. Their views, this party, their principles, the Democrats, and their objectives are incredibly extreme. Democrats are seen as radical agents of change, aggressive change, anti-American change, unconstitutional change. They seem to have little respect for the rule of law, for tradition, for religion, and for traditional values and morality. Rules are for little people, and so many truly believe that they can do as they please, like Clinton and the emails, without legal consequences. The law was clearly broken by Hillary Rodham Clinton, and any number of times, but nothing happened to her. The rationalizations of former FBI Director Comey notwithstanding, and of course Clinton's protestations, she got away with it. Like Lois Lerner, like Eric Holder, they got away with it. These actions of Clinton's were felonious, and she, like any other ordinary American citizen, could have and should have gone to jail, perhaps for as long as 20 years or more for what she did. She didn't even get a slap on the wrist. But nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing. And nothing will. and the elites marching to the beat of a different drummer lived life lofty and above and indifferent to the rest of us and to the law. But at least there is some awareness of this democratic, elitist, radical, progressive contempt for the average American. There now is a plea on the part of at least some Democrats for toning down the looking down. Don't you like that? Democrats, toning down the looking down. One writer stated the following: elitism is liberalism's biggest problem. Oh, it sure is. Even the New York Times, believe it or not, its writer Joan Williams stated the following. New York Times now. The dumb politics of elite condescension. Dumb is probably like stupid, don't you think? If we're stupid, maybe they're dumb, says Williams of the New York Times. Looking down on average Americans as these elites do and seeing them with guns and religion and football and without any respect for anything they are. Perhaps, Williams implied, that if elites consider American voters stupid, they themselves are dumb and victims of their very own dumb politics. And even another elitist statement. Hear this now, my fellow Americans. This was actually a headline in a liberal progressive publication. Hear it. Advice on how to talk, to the white working class without insulting them. Can you believe that? Advice on how to talk to the white working class, you know, those irredeemables, without insulting them. In short, elitists really don't know how to talk, to communicate to the white working class, whoever they are, without appearing condescending or disrespectful, without looking down on them. Not knowing how to communicate without condescending and not knowing how to hide their contempt. Even the progressives recognize that as a problem. Since most of these elitist individuals are Democrats, sounds good for the Republicans, does it not? One of the biggest problems these elites have is the fact that they simply cannot accept the presidential victory of Donald John Trump. They just can't do it. They continue to be stunned, sickened, as one elitist stated, at the thought of having to deal with Trump for all of 4 miserable years. Trump, in their view, is the leader of all of the American mediocrities, the average Joe, the beer-drinking, dirt-under-the-fingernails, hard-working men and women, the backbone of America. As one writer stated, elites still find it somewhat inconceivable that so many middle Americans continue to, are you ready for this, continue to, this one blows me away, go to church. Elites just simply can't believe that. But we do, and we're proud of it, and we get something from it. Where do they go? Wow, how stupid is that, to think that and say that? And so many of the non-elites are Republicans. Wow, again, wow, Republicans. And the coup de grace. These average middle Americans actually salute the flag. Can you believe this? These are the words of others, their words, not mine. These average middle Americans actually salute the flag, honor the Star-Spangled Banner, wow, and respect traditional America. Incredible, isn't it? If you do those 3 things, my fellow Americans, you are just stupid. And these elites, these super and above us human beings, actually do believe that the vast majority, the masses, are in fact irredeemable and stupid. And one of them actually made another statement that blows my mind about the average Americans. He said, we are persuadable, low information folks. You, if you're an average, middle, white, working-class American, you are persuadable. You don't have your own mind. And you have low information, you folks. Low information, you stupid average American voter. You and we are perceived by them as not just stupid, but without fact, without information, failing to understand the superior wisdom, the points of view and beliefs of the elites, and especially the academic elites of this world. So that, if they, the elites, could actually communicate to you, you would be persuaded. You would vote Democrat. You would become a low-level progressive, even a radical. And the bottom line is, you would think and live the way they want you to think and live. One writer made this very astute statement about progressives and what he called the progressive dilemma. He stated about Democrats, the progressive radical kind, that contempt is baked into the identity politics that defines today's Democratic Party. Again, contempt is baked into the identity politics that defines today's Democratic Party. This contempt, born just before and during the 8 years of Obama, and which Clinton determined to carry on, is a fundamental, core, baked-into problem of a Democratic Party. And in fact, it defines it. It really defines this party. And for this writer, it is a political disease incurable, so that it must be camouflaged, softened, toned down. As these elitist Democrats attempt to communicate with the average American voter and, of course, persuade them. I, for one, think that will never happen, for the American voter, the average Joe, is far smarter than elites give credit, far smarter, instinctive, and knowledgeable about the issues, and especially the condescending elitism of the Democratic Party. The elitism of a Pelosi, a Schumer, a Feinstein, a Franken, and of course Bernie Sanders, and even Hillary Clinton. However marginal she may be today in her very own party, these elitists will never be able to do anything but look down with disrespect and have contempt for the average American voter. The so-called identity politics of the elites transforms those on the other side of the argument. Those average Americans who are pro-life, oh my soul, what a bad thing to be. And respect the military, boy, I for one salute them with all my heart. And work hard for a living, don't you? And go to church, wow, whew. Boy, that's really stupid, isn't it? And perhaps you're anti-abortion. And perhaps you don't agree with the gay agenda and so much else on the other side of elitism. Well, transforming them from political opponents worthy of dialogue into oppressors. Hey, we just graduated from stupid and mediocre. We just graduated, my fellow Americans, to oppressors. In short, non-elites are treated as bigots whose retrograde views mean they really have no rights, at least in the minds of elites. So that when the Supreme Court unilaterally imposes gay marriage on the entire nation, a baker who does not want to cater a gay reception must not only be confronted as wrong, but as an oppressor, and he must be financially ruined in the process. In short, that baker really has no rights. He has no rights because he's an oppressor. And complete ruination is the only real and right and just progressive remedy. And that really is the way it is with these radical progressives. That's really the way it is. If you are not progressive, then you are the enemy. If you do not hew to the rules and regulations of progressive orthodoxy, then you are an oppressor, and you should be totally oppressed as the only remedy. This hostile, contemptuous dynamic is most visible on college campuses, where identity politics is also most virulent. Witness the mob action at Middlebury College. Witness the constant mob activity of the student mobs at UC Berkeley, America's hotbed for radicalism. And then there was the mob activity at a small school, Evergreen State College. Have you ever heard of Evergreen State College? I never did. It's a small public liberal arts institution. Professor Brett Weinstein had taught biology at Evergreen State College for some 14 years. This year, an angry mob of about 50 students disrupted his class, called him a racist, and demanded that he resign. Weinstein was labeled a racist because, ready for this, he protested what had been organized as a day of absence, in which white people were asked to leave campus on a certain day. Can you believe that? A day of absence. at Evergreen State College, in which white people were asked to leave campus on a certain day. Could you imagine the uproar if black people were asked to leave campus on a certain day? And hear the language of this mob at Evergreen. White students, staff, and faculty will be invited. Really? Invited? To leave the campus for the day's activities. Get out for a day, white folk. Obviously, Professor Weinstein was deeply offended and protested, and of course he should. But he was immediately labeled racist by some 50 yelling, screaming, threatening, mob-like students. But at least this good professor stood up, did not capitulate to this mob, or the feckless university and its administration, and refused to resign, no matter the threats to his safety, and challenge the absurd, radical actions of the campus mob. Ha! Would that many other colleges and campuses would do the same, standing up to those radical elites and their contemptuous behavior. So many of today's elites live and work in academia, do they not? Don't you know some? Small wonder that our colleges and universities produce a new generation of radicals so contemptuous of the old America and traditional Americans. Contemptuous. And so we live, my fellow Americans, not in the United, but in the divided states of America. The divided states of America. The writer William McGurn, writing for the Wall Street Journal, stated about the elites, the Democratic Party, and their resistance and opposition as follows. McGurn said, "The great irony here is that this contemptuous elitism has left Democrats increasingly choosing undemocratic means to get what they want." Well said, Mr. McGurn. He refers by illustration to Obama, who loudly boasted that he would get what he wanted by simply using his pen and phone to bypass Congress. Nice man. And that the Democrats would use the legal system, and especially the Supreme Court, in preference to the legislature or Congress, again, to get what they want. To make, as McGurn says, an end run around the Constitution. And boy, did they run fast. And run all around that precious document. And writer McGurn concludes with the following. The modern American progressive has no faith in the democratic process because he has no trust in the American people. Again, the modern American progressive has no faith in the democratic process. Why? Because this progressive has no trust in the American people. That's you and me. And that, my fellow Americans, is in fact what so many elitists in the Democratic Party think of you and me, the average American voter. They have no trust in us. So, the Democrats, those who lead the party, the elites may never learn how to communicate with middle America. They simply cannot talk to us without addressing their very own identity politics. They continue to hopelessly divide us, allow us no dialogue, no respectful communication, show average voters no respect, and oppose and threaten rather than discuss and debate. It is for them their way or the highway. And so it is for the rest of us. No recourse, none, but to resist and defend, even aggressively defend the way of life in which we believe, because they're all about destroying that. The elites, the radical progressives, are really, really dangerous to America, in my opinion. What do you think? And that is especially so, as writer William McGurn has so well stated, that the primary premise of the Democratic Party starts from the premise, said McGurn, that the Americans they are condescending to will remain too stupid to figure it out. My friend, my listening friend, are you too stupid to figure it out? To figure out really what the Democratic Party is, what it stands for, and where it would take America if it once again regained power and control? Are you too stupid to figure out what they would do with our beloved America? I don't think so. But, you know, for me, I have never met an American too stupid to figure things out. Have you? I've never really met one. Most Americans are smart, full of common sense, with an ability to understand right and wrong and figure it out. Common sense is something an elite, a radical, a progressive knows little about. I, for one, trust the American people, the intelligence of the average American voter, and I do not believe that the radical progressives, the elitists, can run them over or run them out of politics. Those stupid voters had enough of the man with the pen and the phone and the woman with the email scandals, and they voted for Trump. Perhaps someday, the elitist Democrats will learn the lesson of the Trump election, and that is that the American voters would take a man like Trump over an elitist, deplorable, irredeemable, condescending candidate for president, one Hillary Rodham Clinton.